Right, where do we get up to? Are we up to?
I got Omar Rav Huna.
Yes, Omar Rav Huna.
Omar Rav Huna.
About.
Okay.
Omar Rav Huna is about 15 lines above the bottom.
Omar Rav Huna besomim shel beis hakisei.
Yes.
You have perfume or besomim, whatever, from the beis hakisei, which is obviously there in order to remove any unpleasant odor. V'shemen, and any oil, ha'osu lahaviris hazuamo, which is there just to get rid of grease. At the end of the meal, like we've discussed a number of times, they did not used to eat with cutlery, they ate with their fingers. Therefore, their fingers at the end of the meal was greasy. So at the end, you can imagine the fingers are dirty, greasy, have maybe an unpleasant smell. So they used to lather their hands in oil at the end of the meal, just to get rid of that smell. So that type of thing, says the Gemara, ein mevarachin olav, cannot be used to make a bracha. Now you'll remember we discussed last week, when it comes to the ner, it has to be a ner whose function is to give light, not a ner that's there to give other benefits. If you've got a ner, like we've said, a ner shel kovod, that's not there to give light. So now similarly, besomim as well. It has to be besomim whose purpose is specifically to smell the pleasant fragrance. Whereas in our case, it's not there to smell pleasant fragrance, rather it's just there to solve a problem of getting rid of an unpleasant smell. And that's why the Gemara says, you cannot make a bracha on besomim over these types of besomim. Says the Gemara, lemeimra, are you trying to teach me de kol heicha? Wherever the lav lereicha avida, comma, if it's not made for reach, if it's not there specifically to give a pleasant smell, loy mevarchinon ilavei, question mark, you cannot make a brocha over it. Again, this besomim that you, like, imagine like a toilet spray, right? Toilet spray is not designed in order for everyone to go up to the bottle and have a whiff and take a nice smell. Rather, it's there just to remove a bad odor. So if that's the case, it sounds like you're telling me that you cannot use that to make a brocha of besomim over. Says the Gemara, that's a big problem, because meisve, we have a brayse that says, hanichnas lechanusoi shel bosim. If somebody comes into the store that sells perfume, v'heiriach reach, and he smells the smell, afilu yoshav shom kol hayom kuloi, even if he sat there all day, einoi mevarech elo pam echod. If he sits there all day, he doesn't make a brocha every 5 minutes. He makes one brocha when he comes into the store. He's the store owner, for example, and that will pat him for the whole day. Nichnas v'yotza, nichnas v'yotza. But if he enters and then exits and then he comes back in again, then mevarech al kol pam b'pam, because each time is a new smell. V'ha'hocha d'lav l'recha hu d'avida. Says the Gemara over here also, this is not made for smelling. What does it mean it's not made for smelling? V'ha'hocha d'lav l'recha hu d'avida v'komavorech. And he is making a bracha. So what does that mean? It's not made for the Avida. This Boisem is made to smell. So what does the Gemara mean that this case is not therefore made for smell? How do you understand the Gemara's kasha?
For food. If it's a spice store and people use them in cooking, then they're not intended for smelling. They're intended to be purchased, brought home, and used for cooking.
But is that what we're talking about? Are these Boisem made for cooking?
A perfume store.
Well, they're made for selling.
If it's a perfume store, then it is made for smelling. If it's a perfume store, then it is made for smelling.
Except, here it's, okay, fragrant spices is the way the art scroll translates it. It's a shop of a merchant of fragrant spices is what they translate.
Fragrant spices, you might be right. So not about perfume, rather it's about spices. So spices are not there specifically to be smelled, rather they're there to give pleasant taste to your food. So again, according to the principle we said before, why would you make a brach on it? Says the Gemara, no, it's not the same. Because in, not ein, in. L'reicha nami huda avida. They are also made to give a pleasant smell. Ki heichi, in order the nirchu inshi, that people should smell them, v'nesu, and they should come, v'nizban minei, and they should purchase them. In other words, they deliberately produce these besomim in a way that it does give off a pleasant fragrance, because that attracts customers to come and buy them. Therefore, even though the main usage of this besomim is obviously in order just to be used in your spices and your food, but they are deliberately made with pleasant fragrance in order to attract clients. Therefore, you're allowed to make a bracha on it because part of its usage is indeed to give a pleasant smell. Tana Rabbanon, hayam halich chutz lekrach. If somebody was walking on the outskirts of the city, the heiriach reach, and he smelled a smell, im roiv yisra, afilu roiv yis, im roiv oivdei kichavim. If most people are in the town, agoyim einam avarech, for reasons that we've said earlier on, because there's goyim, maybe they're making a party for avodah zarah, but im roiv yisrael, then mavarech. But if most people are Jewish, then there's no problem to smell them. Says Rabbi Yossi that no, Rabbi Yossi oimer, afilu roiv yisrael, nami einam avarech. Even if most people are Jews, you should not make a bracha. Why? Bepneish b'nois Yisrael. Unfortunately, there are b'nois Yisrael who are makatrois. They are offering spice offerings, lakshofim, to magic or some sources which are not, which also related to Zorah.
Yeah, they translate here as sorcery.
Sorcery, right. Says the Gemara, fine, but even if that's the case, otu kulhu lekshofim mekatrin, question mark? Even if you say there are, unfortunately, some B'nois Yisrael who are offering their spices to witchcraft or whatever it is, but surely we're not going to say that everybody does that. Says the Gemara, you're quite right. Havalei mi'uta lekshofim. You're right, it's only a miut. The minority of people are, unfortunately, using this besomim for the wrong types of purposes. However, but there's also another miut who are not being over and over, but what they're doing, nami legameir esakelim. What's legameir esakelim? Also, like we said before, just to get rid of the smell, you've got plates or clothes, which have got, let's say you've been in the workplace and it's been a long day, so the work clothes might be smelling unpleasant. So you have these types of fragrance that removes the evil smell, the bad smell. So therefore, you're right. Most people in Klal Yisrael, we cannot say that most people are using the besomim for halachically non-permissible purposes. That's true. But we have a meal. So I don't know, let's say we have 30%. But we have another 30% who are using it also not for the sake of giving a pleasant smell, but rather, like we said before, just getting rid of a bad smell. Well, if that's the case, if you add that all up, ishtakach, so it comes out that ruba, most of it altogether, is the lav l'reicha, is not given for pleasant smell. Lav l'reicha ovid, kol ruba, the lav l'reicha ovid, loim of. And whenever you have a majority of fragrance, which is not there to give pleasant smell, some is for avodah zarah, and some is just to get rid of a bad smell. So altogether, you've got a roiv, which is not there to give smell, and therefore the bracha cannot be made on it. If ever you'd be walking around in Tveria on Friday, or b'motza Shabbos is b'tzipoiri, which is a very close city to Tveria. Veheriach reach, and you smell a smell, einu mavarech. If you have a waft coming out on Erev Shabbos or Motzei Shabbos, do not make a bracha on it. Why not? V'pnei shecheskosoi einoi osui elo legamer boyes akelim. Because the chances are people getting ready for Shabbos, the chances are you can assume that probably they're just getting their kalim sorted out. So I'm not quite sure why this applies on Motzah Shabbos. On Erev Shabbos, I understand. On Erev Shabbos, you want to get ready for Shabbos, so people are making sure that their begodim are all a fresh smell. So again, it's just getting rid of a bad smell. I'm not quite sure why that applies on Motzah Shabbos as well. Tana Rabbanan, Hoya Mahalech Bashuk, Shal Akum. If ever you're walking in the marketplace of a goy, Nisrat Selahariach, if you willingly smell the smell that's wafting around there, you should know, Hari Zeh Choyte, you're a sinner. Because again, if it's goyim, then you have to assume it's Avodah Zarah. So by the way, there's a whole halachic discussion. We don't really have time, unfortunately, to get involved in it. But there is a big discussion generally about smelling, not Avodah Zarah, but smelling ma'acholos asuris. So if you walk past a McDonald's and there's a waft of a cheeseburger coming out, are you allowed to smell it? This is very, very neger, coming up now on Pesach. Imagine you go for a walk and there's unfortunately people who are irreligious and they're doing a whole barbecue with their pitas and their rolls. Are you allowed to smell that? I'm not chas v'shalom eating chametz or storing it, I'm just smelling it. But that's a discussion for another day. We have to move on. Says the Gemara, ve'ein mevarech. Yeah.
I was guessing a question what the Rebbe said, don't discuss it.
Now what's the question?
No, I thought it's a Rashi in the end of Parshas Kedoshim that says you're supposed to smell it and desire it, but then you say, but Hashem does want me to have it, so I won't have it.
It doesn't say you should smell it. It just, the Rashi in Kedoshim just says that with regard to Macholis Asurois, it says you're not supposed to say that I don't like the taste of a chazir. You're supposed to say, really, I do. The reason why I'm not eating it is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has outlawed it. But as far as I remember, it doesn't say anything about going actively to smell it. Okay. Just as you're supposed to say, the reason why I'm keeping it is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't eat it, not because I don't like it. Okay, says the Gemara, we're trying to move on quickly. Ve'ein mevorchin al haneir ad sheyo'osei. We are now beginning the last Amud. The Mishnah says you should not make a bracha on the neir until you have benefited from the candle, yo'osei, from like the word hano'osei. Now, what does that mean? Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, lo yo'osei, quote unquote, the word yo'osei does not mean yo'osei mamash. It doesn't mean that you've actually practically got to benefit from the light of the candle. That's not what it means. So what does it mean? I mean, after all, the Mishnah does say, don't make a bracha until you've had benefit. Says the Gemara, no. Ella, what it means is, kol she'ilu oimed bekorev, if you were standing theoretically, not practically, if the light is such that were you to be standing in close proximity, umishtamesh la'oiro, and you'd be able to use the light, then va'afilu berichuk mochen, then even if you're standing far away from it, so you are not and cannot benefit from the light, it doesn't matter. Nobody is suggesting that you actually practically have to benefit from the light. Rather, it must be that type of light that you could, in theory, benefit from were you only to be standing close up, as opposed to a very, very tiny flame, where even if you are standing close, it's not bright enough to be able to read by the light or eat by the light. But if it is bright enough, then even if I'm standing far and I cannot benefit from it, it doesn't matter. So when the Mishnah says that you have to benefit from it, it doesn't mean that you have to practically benefit. It means that you have to theoretically be able to benefit from it. Says the Gemara V'chein Amar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi said exactly the same thing. Barichuk Mokoim Shoninu. We are discussing Shoninu, we have learned, we are talking about that even if you're standing far off, look at the very top Rashi. Lo yeyosei mamesh, shafilu lo nehene mimenu. Even if you actually have not benefited from it, still mevorchin olav. Umay. So what does it mean, quote unquote, ad sheyosei, those two words? The Mishnah does say until you have benefit. No, ad sheyehe oiroi ra'u. That's the underlined word, ra'u. It has to be physically able, fitting, enable lehonois mimenu, to benefit from la'oimdim samochloi, to those people who indeed are standing close up. But then, if that's the type of light that those who are standing close would be able to benefit from, then that's considered bright enough. Va'oz mevarchim alav afilu harachikim mimenu. Then, once you're dealing with a type of light that at least were you to be standing close, you could benefit, then you're allowed to make a bracha, even if you're standing far, ubilvad sheyiruhu, as long as you can see it. So you don't need to practically benefit from it, but you do need to be able to see the candle. Says the Gemara, back into the Gemara, meisve, you have a kasha. Hoy soloneir, tmuno b'cheikoi. What happens if you have a candle which is, as it were, hidden in his clothes? It's covered by his jacket. Oy bepanas. Panas is some sort of a lantern. Oy shero'o shalheves v'loi nishtamish lo'iro. Or you see a flame, but you did not use the light. Oy nishtamish lo'iro v'loiro'o shalheves. Or you use the light, but you didn't see the flame, which is very strange. What does that mean in all of those cases? Einoy mevarech ad sheyire shalheves v'yishtamish la'oira. You do not make a bracha until you actually see the flame and you use the candle. So, bishloima mishtamish la'oira v'loira'o shalheves. What does that mean? You use the candle, but you didn't see the flame. How can you use the light if you never saw the light? The answer is Mishkachas lo dekaima bekeren zovis. You're standing in your corner. So if you're standing around the corner, it could be that that you didn't actually see the flame, but the rays of light did flood the room. So even in your corner, even though you can't see the flame, you can still have benefit. You can use the flame. That I understand. Elo ro'o shalheves. What does that mean? You saw the flame, but didn't use it. What does that mean? Lav de merachko. Doesn't that mean that you're far from the flame, such that yes, you can see it, but you can't actually use it? And what does the Braisa say? In that case, you cannot make a bracha. So how can you tell me that you don't actually physically have to have a benefit? Even if you're standing far, that's okay. Over here, it talks about a case where you can see the flame, but you didn't use it. And it says it's not okay. And what's that case? Probably safe to assume they were talking about you're standing far off. So you see that it's not good enough that you could in theory use it. Rather, you've got to practically use it. That's the big kasha. So we have to stop over here. Mit Hashem, we'll carry on tomorrow, and hopefully we're going to finish the parak in the coming days.
Okay, Shukrav. Thank you for the story.
Okay, Colton.
A good one.